And I would invite you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs this morning as we continue our preaching through the Old Testament. I'm not going to make it all the way through by the end of the year, and so kind of bring this series to a close. It has been an interesting year. But in the book of Proverbs, I really struggle this week. The book of Proverbs it's an interesting book. And I enjoy reading Proverbs. But there's just so much material in here. It's kind of like, practical wisdom. It's really not redneck wisdom, but it's not wisdom you would find in a large city either. It's just one or two, maybe three or four sentences that are clustered or grouped together or even singular that come to one idea. And so you read a couple of verses, and the next verse may have nothing at all to do with the instruction in the previous verse. But I read in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 that Solomon spoke over 3,000 proverbs. Now, a proverb is just simply a saying. It's a sentence structure. It can be a poem. Some of them have even been set to music and songs. But unlike the book of Psalms, which is mainly songs made for singing or repetition, the book of Proverbs it appears when you first read it to be this random book of sayings that are just sort of pulled out of the air and out of nowhere. For instance, he will say, be very careful around loose women. And I'm paraphrasing here, do not tarry long at the wine. And that's all I want to say about that one. And the next one might say, consider the ant. Or there are three things that the Lord hates. Four things the Lord hates. So it just bounces around from the left side to the right side and the center side. So I had to really kind of do some soul searching here. I went one way with a sermon early on in the week, and by Wednesday I thought, no, that's not what God wants me to do, and wanted to go another direction, and I felt uncomfortable about that. I'm satisfied right now, though, where I'm at. It may not be the sermon of the hour for you. It may not even be the best sermon of the week or the month for you, or even of the year for you. It might not even fit where you are. But it's going to fit somebody. I believe that out of a willful heart and a willingness to serve, God is going to bless the words that we read today, and someone here will receive instruction in righteousness that needs to hear this message. The most famous part of Proverbs is probably found toward the end of the chapter. This is the one that talks about a virtuous woman. And it says in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Or some translations say, a virtuous wife. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, I've always, until recently, just thought of this passage in the literal sense of a literal relationship between man and woman. But there's a deep, hidden meaning here between Christ and the church. When Christ returns, shall he find faithfulness on the earth? Yes, he will. Where will he find that faithfulness? He will find it among God's people, those that love him and those that serve him, those who somehow have arrived at the great theme of the book of Proverbs, which is the attainment of wisdom. Turn with me back to the beginning of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we wanted to follow through today with the idea about the church representing the woman, and that it's hard to find the people of God, then we have to sort of back up in reverse a little bit and look at some of those qualities and characteristics. And one of them that's above all the rest of them is this idea of knowledge, and knowledge that leads to wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. I happened to be riding the other day with Don Martin in my car, and we do some visitation together, and someone called me on my phone, and I have this person in my phone as Smart Girl. And Don, I don't know if you remember that or not, but it came up, and he saw that on my phone, Smart Girl. And he said, so you've got a smart girl in your phone, right? And I said, well, I don't want any dumb girls on my phone. Wisdom comes in different ways, different areas. But there's a distinctive separation between knowledge and wisdom. You cannot have wisdom without knowledge. But the theme, the whole point of the book of Proverbs is to move the common person to where he has wisdom. Remembering now Solomon, who's credited here with writing the book of Proverbs, and I don't know what to do about two other men named Lemuel and Agur, but anyway, we credit Solomon with writing the book of Proverbs. The theme and the whole purpose of this collection of sayings seems to be to encourage and admonish men and women, boys and girls, to find wisdom. Somehow you must find wisdom. It's a wonderful thing. But if you notice also with me right here, right across the page in chapter 2, he says in Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, then he moves into three parts of the human body. He says, if you treasure my commands within you, and then verse 2, he says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. That's the first part, is the ear, that's number 1. And you apply your heart to understanding, that's number 2. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. And the voice there, of course, meaning mouth. So you've got the ear, you've got the heart, the mind, you've got the voice or the mouth crying out for understanding. He says in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. Now I need to just stop right there. It came to me this week that finding God and finding wisdom and finding knowledge and finding understanding cannot be attained any other way than by searching for it. Now, you want it. The title of our message today is having a focus on the benefits of wisdom. But we must first figure out biblically how we come to have and to know this wisdom. Verse 4, I believe, is a key verse. But you won't really like it, because it demands a lifestyle change. I don't really wrap my mind around this verse like I would wish. He says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. I've been interested in precious metals for a long time. I may have told you that I paid part of my way through college buying and selling silver. As a coin collector in my early years, I worked at coin shows, and I could buy from one dealer. I would go to an auction and buy, and go to another dealer and sell, and I made some good money that way. I even had a route that went from Gainesville to Cornelia, Blairsville, back through LJ, Jasper. 2 days a week, I would run my route to different banks. And in those days, you could buy $500 or $1,000. It was not uncommon at all. I could purchase rolls of half dollars or quarters, whatever I wanted. And then I would go through those coins and pull out all the silver, and then I would drive to Atlanta and sell my silver and repeat the same thing the next week. And I did this for quite a while. I was seeking and searching for the silver. I know what it's like. And even though it was not exactly kosher, it wasn't sinful, not exactly illegal, but there were some bank tellers that I became acquainted well enough with that they would just pull out the coins for me, and I would just leave them a little tip as we made the exchange. Sounded like a good deal to me. You didn't get that, did you? Okay, I'll pass over that. The idea here, though, to seek wisdom like we are seeking for silver. In my search for silver, it's taken me, I've met a lot of unique people as you sit around a kitchen table and they bring out a quart jar and out rolls the silver quarters and Mercury dimes and Roosevelt dimes and things, and then comes a negotiating process where you try to buy at a price that you can resell within a market that's constantly changing up and down. But I'm interested here in this thought that he would say, if you really want this wisdom that I'm speaking of, you have to search for her as silver. I don't know if you remember, but as we finish this church here, thanks to Corky's ability to come up with an itinerary and so forth, the church paid for Debbie and myself to go to Colorado. And we spent quite a bit of time in Durango. And as we rode the trains up into the mountains, I could see the greenish tint in the stones there that represents silver. There's still millions of ounces, or I don't know how many pounds we could even guess, of silver that's still out there. It's just so hard to extract the silver chemically from the stones. And so the miners have to figure out the least expensive way to get the silver out and still be able to make a profit. But they dig and they test and experiment, and people's lives are lost. Tremendous resources are spent trying to determine how these mines can, these silver mines can continue to function in search of silver. So when I read this, my mind goes to that part of looking for silver, to the mining process, and to the process of buying it from other people at a price that's affordable, or going to a coin show and buying certain selected coins from one dealer and selling from another dealer. I just think you got to be pretty good to do that. But I've done it in the past. That's all I want to say about that. Now, if you notice here in verse 5, we have a promise. Actually, the rest of this chapter lists the benefits of gaining wisdom. I numbered 8 of them, but there's a combination of numbers depending upon how you add them up and how you place the verses together. But it says in verse 5 that a biblical promise will happen. I want this for myself more than anything I want on earth. This is what I beg God for. Let me read verse 4 and put verse 5 with it. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then something's supposed to happen. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. I've shared with you before how the church is changing and the church is evolving, and it must, in order to preserve itself. But this hidden treasure, this treasure that's not so easily seen, must be looked for. It must be sought after. You have to figure out a way to find it in your own way. And if you find it, and if you do find it, and you will find it if you do what the Bible says, the Bible says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. I don't think this is telling us that you will understand everything about life and living, but you will understand and you will find a personal God. And that's all that really matters in the end. Now, here are some of the benefits of wisdom. Well, there in verse 5, it says you would understand more about God. You would find the knowledge of God. Verse 7, he will be a shield to those who walk uprightly, or those who find him. He guards the paths of justice. Verse 9, back to this idea of the mind and understanding. You will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and even every good path. In verse 11, you find another benefit of wisdom. Discretion will preserve you. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Verse 21 says that not only do the righteous inherit the earth and in the New Testament, but it says here in verse 21, for the upright will dwell in the land. So there's a lot of things here that are included in the benefits of getting or being part of this wisdom. Notice with me chapter 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Do you see that? And the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain more than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Remember the last group of Proverbs we read there in chapter 31, how that the virtuous woman, her price is far above rubies. Well, he's building toward that. You see, now we are in the first part of Proverbs, verse 14 of chapter 3. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, the her here is this wisdom. If we can figure out some personification of this wisdom, I think then we could claim some of the benefits that he's trying to get across to us, idealized here in the book of Proverbs. Well, I found something. I didn't find it in the book of Proverbs, but I found it in the book of Colossians. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. Have any of you watched any of the programs on the discovery of gold? And Yukon Gold, and there's about four or five, well, maybe three or four programs about people who are trying to find gold in Alaska and South America and other places. I want to move your thought process in the same direction, but onto another object. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We just read the same benefit in the book of Proverbs, that if we could find this wisdom, then we would understand about the knowledge of God. We would have spiritual understanding. And here we find Paul saying, we've been praying for you that you will find, that you will discover this great benefit. Well, what is it anyway? What's he talking about? Please let me read on. Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now there's a little bit of hope there for people like me. I want it all at one time. But the biblical process is that we grow in grace and knowledge. So that means as we are maturing, it may be a process of years, but we will get there. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now we begin to move toward the detail. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him are all things that were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, and whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell. And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. What is He talking about here? The New Testament says that Jesus Christ is this wisdom. If you will search to find Jesus Christ, you will find Him. And then you may enjoy all the benefits of this metaphorical personalization of wisdom that we find within the Proverbs. Look across the page at me. Look across the page with me. Colossians chapter 2. I would just like to read verses 2 and 3. Speaking about the church over at Laodicea, he says that their hearts may be encouraged, and being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3. Please look at it. This is the greatest benefit that you will ever have. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, if I'm off base today in my message, I'm sorry. But this is my story today, and I'm sticking to it. I don't believe we're searching for Christ the way we should be searching for Him. I don't think we will ever really find and discover who He is and His great love toward us unless somehow we respond back to Him. He's already visited the earth. We have His record in the New Testament if we would only read it. Judy was talking about developing habits, and I don't know how long it would take to develop the habit of just reading the Bible every day, but that's a very simple, basic place to start, if you ask me. And if you're not good at reading, well, begin in the book of John and read one or two verses. My own father, who was very, very educated, in his own way, uneducated in academics, a graduate of the third grade, taught himself to read basically by reading the Bible. I have seen it in practice. Here was a man who could repeat from memory almost all of the book of John. I have sat with my Bible open as a little kid and listen to him quote the book of John. You don't find that kind of purpose anymore. Sometimes I get home and I just want to unwind. Stay too tensed up. Most of the time I'm too serious. Then when I try to get unserious, I get too goofy and stupid. Can't find a balance. But I think more of Christ would provide more of a balance. And I just believe our answers are found in this idea of wisdom if we can find Christ. And we can find Christ through the Word and through worship and through music and through fellowship and through the habit, Judy, of thinking about Him. There are solutions and there are answers and there are explanations. There is a big controversy today that we are involved in between right and wrong, and it may appear at times that the side of good is losing, but it's not, because in Christ we all have fullness of joy. But you have to find Him somehow. And when you find Him, fall in love with Him. Oh, I've spent my entire life around people who claim to know Christ. But I don't know too many people who are really in love with Christ. Notice verses 9 and 10 with me. I've got to close here. I've got to slip away and go back to Ranger to another meeting. But in verses 9 and 10, you will find today, if you have opportunity this afternoon to go back through this again a little bit, it says in verses 9 and 10, "For in Him," that's Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10, "And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Now, Solomon didn't know the Christ as you know Him, as the one who came to earth and died and was resurrected, ascending up into heaven at the right time. But he knew the power of that God. And that's his wish for us today. And in the benefits of wisdom, one of the greatest things that comes to my mind is the joy of spending eternity with Him. Why worry about literal silver and gold when you are going to see the King who lives in a place where the streets are made of gold? The greatest treasure now is not found about Christ, but it's found in Christ and being connected one with